I want to talk to you about singleness. Paul talks to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In the first 24 verses of that chapter, he talks about marriage, he talks about divorce, and then in verse 25, he takes a turn and he starts talking about singles. Now, he doesn't use the word singles. He doesn't define it in the way that we do in this world, as we'll see in a moment, but here's what he said, and I'm reading to you from the Message translation, just because it kind of it made more sense when I read it, just so I could kind of put some skin on it. It says this in verse 25. This is Paul. The master did not give explicit direction regarding virgins, but as one much experienced in the mercy of the master and loyal to him in all ways, you can trust my counsel. Because of the current pressures on us from all sides, I think it would probably be best to stay just as you are. Are you married? Stay married. Are you unmarried? Don't get married. But there's certainly no sin in getting married, whether you're a virgin or not. All I'm saying is that when you marry, you take on additional stress in an already stressful time, and I want to spare you, if possible. Verse 29, I do want to point out, friends, that time is of the essence. There is no time to waste, so don't complicate your lives unnecessarily. Keep it simple in marriage, in grief, in joy, and whatever. Even in ordinary things, your daily routines and shopping and so on, deal as sparingly as possible with the things the world thrust on you. This world, as you see it, is on its way out. We can probably all say amen to that after 2020, huh? Verse 32 says, I want you to live as free of complications as possible. When you're unmarried, you're free to concentrate on simply pleasing the master. Marriage involves you in all the nuts and bolts of domestic life and in wanting to please your spouse, leading to so many more demands of your attention. The time and energy that married people spend on caring for and nurturing each other. The unmarried can spend in becoming whole and holy instruments of God. I'm trying to be helpful, he says, and make it as easy as possible for you. Not to make things harder. All I want is for you is to be able to develop a way in which you can live your life and spend plenty of time together with the master without a lot of distractions. How many of you know that in this world there's going to be many distractions? Did you know that? Paul goes on to give some advice. Now, as I said, I want you to take everything right now with a little bit of a grain of salt, because when you hear that, you hear, hey, he said if we're single, stay single. If you're married, stay married. Are you telling me that if I'm single, I can't get married? No, he's not saying that. He's saying that if you have God's focus, it's going to be much simpler, because sometimes, as we're going to find out in a moment, we think that marriage is the answer to everything when you're single, but then when you get married, you think singleness is the answer to everything, right? And he can get kind of confused. But you see, we're looking at the wrong definition. I believe there is such a violent attack right now, specifically on relationships. Singles can think about marriage, and this is the answer. Marrieds will say, no, it's not the answer, so what is it? The reality is, we have this cliche that has been said, the grass is always greener where? On the other side, right? The grass is always greener on the other side. Until you get to the other side, then the grass isn't really that green. Where is it green now? On the other side. We always say the grass is greener on the other side, but the reality is the grass is always greener wherever it is that you're maintaining the lawn. You see, if you want a healthy marriage, you got to pour into that marriage. If you want a healthy single life, then you got to pour into that healthy single life. It's not looking at everybody else and trying to have what they have. It's about coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, what do you have for me? So as we get into this, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to talk to you for a little while. We're going to look at two different views. We're going to look at God's view. We're going to look at the world's view. And then we'll get into some of this about what it means to be single, because it's not just about the way the world defines it. It's what does God have to say? God has something to say specifically to each and every person here today, I believe. And he's less concerned at the moment about your marital status or what demographic you fall into. He's more concerned with the condition of your heart. He's more concerned with the condition of my heart. If the condition of our heart isn't right, then nothing else matters. Now, as I've said, and I'll say many times, if you're here and you're single, I want you to know this today. God has something specific he wants to deposit in your life, whether that means you've just grown up and you've never dated, or you've never gotten married, or maybe you're here today and you had to walk through the doorways of divorce, or you've walked through separation, or you've walked through just different seasons like that, and you find yourself now single. What does that mean, and what does God have to say? And if you're here and you're married this morning, and you're in the middle of a relationship, don't shut me out, okay? Please don't shut me out, because we are going to discover together that when we understand the principle of singleness and how it directly is related to our life, we will find that it not only determines who we are in Christ Jesus, but it determines what our tomorrows will be like as well. Amen? And when you get God's view on things, everything's better, isn't it? It may not always be what you want or what you expected, but God has something to say in the middle of this. So I want to talk to you today about singleness, but there's two different views. The first view I'll start with is the world's view, okay? The world's view about singleness is the way the world looks at singleness. The world tries to define singleness by the things that you have and the things that you don't have. It tries to define you with this status. There was one woman who was talking to a pastor one day, and they were discussing the subject of marriage. And the pastor said, you know, God has designed the perfect plan for marriage. One man, one woman together. You can't improve on God's plan. And she said, Pastor, I don't want to improve on it. I just want to get in on it. You know, I want to be in a relationship. And maybe you're here today and that kind of defines you. I just want to be in a relationship. And I want to have some joy, and I want to be able to rest and relax in that. You see, the way many sometimes single people feel in our world today is that we need a relationship in order for us to feel better. We maybe fear that we're missing out on something that God has because we're not married. But God says singleness is actually a blessing. It's a blessing. Now, many singles, you may feel like, okay, Pastor, you're married. And you're talking to me about how it's okay to be single. But I remember what it was like to be single. And as you'll find out in a moment, I'm kind of jumping ahead. If you truly want to be successful in marriage, you need to understand singleness first. Otherwise, what in the world are you going to bring to that relationship? But you see, when you're single, you feel sometimes like God's got you in a holding pattern. Here in another month, I'm going to fly to Virginia. I get the opportunity to teach a class, and I'm excited about that. But what I'm not excited about is I have to fly to get there. Many of you know I'm not a fan of flying. I don't like to get into planes and go however many thousands of feet in the air. I'm the kind of guy that doesn't want to look out the window, because if I lean that way, I'm afraid the plane's going to go, and we're all going to crash and die, right? So I get concerned. I get worried, but I have to be able to do that. And here's the thing I hate when I'm flying. When you get to the airport, just get me down on the ground as quickly and gently as you can, you know, the slam. But have you ever been flying in a plane, and when you get to your destination, they start circling the airport? And you're wondering what's going on. And they come on and they say, oh, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be up here for about 10 minutes, but everything's okay. And I'm thinking inside, liar! If everything was okay, we'd be landing right now. Something's up. What's going up? Something wrong with the wing? Now I'm looking out the window. Something wrong with the landing gear? You know, is there like a crash down on the ground? And I'm worrying. And as I circle the airport up there, I start worrying. Many times we feel like in relationship, when we're single and we want a relationship, sometimes you can feel like God's got you in this holding pattern. And God says, listen, it's all right. My son and my daughter, I got a plan for you. And you want to say, liar, where is it? Why can't I have it now? And we struggle with that. But we've got the wrong definition of what it means to be single. See, the world's view says that if you don't have a relationship, then something must be up. You maybe didn't choose your situation today. You're single. And there's nothing you can do about it. All you know is that you want to get into a relationship. Maybe you feel like God's got you in a holding pattern this morning. What could God possibly have to say to you or to me about our singleness? You see, the first thing is he understands your frustration. If you're here today and you're single, and even if you're not, even if you're married, if you're frustrated, period, God understands. But let me speak specifically to the singles. If you're single and want a relationship, God understands your frustration. Don't think for one moment, oh, God doesn't understand. I mean, he's God. Okay, I know he walked here as Jesus in flesh and blood, and I know that you told me that he took up on all of our sins and he felt everything, but sometimes we think he's like a superhero where he can just kind of make it go away and he doesn't feel it as deeply as we do. But the reality is he feels it even more deeply than you ever did. He understands your frustration. He understands when you feel stuck and you're struggling. And if you're a Christian single person who loves God and wants to honor and serve the Lord with your life, then I want to speak to you this morning specifically from God's word, because the Bible says that there's some very important, challenging, and encouraging principles that not just as a single, the way the world defines it, I don't have a boyfriend, I don't have a girlfriend, but we're going to find out Excuse me. We're going to find out in a moment what God has to say about singleness. Now, those of you that are married, have been married, you're currently married, you're wanting to be married, hang tight with me as we talk about this view of singleness and what God has to say, because in a moment, I'm going to share something about singleness that we need to know as married couples. And if we ever lose sight of this, we lose sight of God's ultimate intention for marriage. So hang with me for a moment. Now, a lot of singles have heard the message before about waiting on the Lord, and you probably hate that message with a passion, because that seems to be the Christian answer, that when you want a relationship, they say, oh, wait upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. He will mount up with wings of eagles. And you just want to say, shut up. I just want my relationship. What does God have to say? Now, you know that God has the perfect plan, but you want to get in on that. And you maybe are tired of hearing that, but most singles would agree that they're waiting for an opportunity to marry because they don't plan on being maybe single the rest of their lives. Listen, God's concern is this. God's concern for you as you're waiting as a single is to make sure that you're waiting the right way. There is a right way. There is a wrong way. And I think we can just guess off the top of your head, the world's way is probably not going to offer you the best when you compare it to what God has for you in this light. So let me show you what I mean by this. Paul was discussing in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, before turning to a specific issue of singleness, he talked about marriage, he talked about divorce, and then he said, now concerning virgins, concerning what ultimately you could redefine that word and say singles, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one by the mercy of the Lord who is trustworthy. When Paul said that the Lord had not given him a command about being single, he meant simply this. While Jesus was here on earth, he didn't specifically say something to you as a single individual, but he did say something about this spirit or this attitude of single living. Jesus certainly could have spoken on it, done a sermon series on it, because he understood what it meant to live life as a single. He experienced that life, including, by the way, singles, he experienced all the temptations, just like you did. While you're waiting on the promises of God, make sure that you are waiting with the right mentality. Make sure you're waiting with the right mentality. While you're waiting on the Lord, make sure that your thinking is straight as well, because the enemy is going to try to distract you. It was years ago, but it was the Goodwill Games in Edmonton, Canada, and there was a Jamaican team. They were doing a 4x400 relay race, and that's where one individual would run 100 yards and would pass the baton to the next person, and they would run the next leg of 100 yards and then pass the baton. Well, this particular Jamaican team, one of the guys was waiting for his counterpart to run up and hand him the baton. And so he kind of looked at one moment. There was a giant screen, and on that giant screen was one of his friends in another competition. And he looked at that, and it was just for a few seconds. But when he looked at that screen and took his attention off of the race that he was in, he missed that his co-runner was coming up behind him, and a collision took place, because he was distracted and not ready to receive the passing of the baton. I think you can tell where I'm going with the analogy. If you and I are not ready and prepared and we get distracted by anything that the enemy offers, there's going to be a collision that takes place. We cannot get distracted. And too many singles have only one thought. I'm going to be kind of real with you today. Sometimes it boils down to just, I want a man, or I want a woman. I want to share life with somebody. I just want a relationship. And they think that if I get married, then everything is going to be perfect. Married people, what you got to say about that? But I get it, because I remember being a single and I had to understand something that I didn't, that I always work on, and that's not defining who I am according to the way that the world defines it, but according to the way that God defines it. In verse 26, Paul said, I think then that it's good, in view of present distress, that it's good for man to remain as he is. In other words, he said, if whether married or single, don't let your marital status dominate your thinking. Don't get distracted. Focus on what God says about you. Paul said this because he knew there were bigger things at stake in the Christian life, and that a person's marital status, though important, is second in comparison to a relationship with him. And here's just my opinion, okay? I'm just going to give you my opinion on something. This is not in the Word of God. This is just the Word of me, okay? But I believe that there wouldn't be such a big deal, or it wouldn't be such a big deal for singles today, except that we're guilty as a society of creating an environment where singles feel like they're second-class citizens if they're not married. Or they feel like something's wrong if they don't have a relationship, when in reality, that's not what the Word of God has to say at all. God doesn't make any distinction between marrieds and single people in the Bible in terms of their value in His eye. And that's clear when you look at Paul in 1 Corinthians 7:27. Are you married? Stay married. Are you unmarried? Don't get married. In other words, if singleness was not perfectly acceptable by God, He would have commanded us all to get married, right? But He didn't. He said, relationships are good. There's nothing wrong with them. But I've created you as a single individual who is extremely unique. And we have to make sure we understand that, because if we lose sight of that, we lose sight of our identity and who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, we doing okay this morning?
Yes.
Okay. All right. These are going to be moments that it will challenge you, and I hope to challenge your thinking. Like I said, we start with the foundation. We start then next with singleness, because we can't get into marriage and talk about that without understanding who we are in Christ Jesus as a single. And then we'll look at some of the other aspects of relationship. So, now I know many single Christians, maybe, you know, as you get a little bit older and you're single, you could get maybe on the defensive and say, oh, here it comes, here we go. You're better off single speech anyway. That's supposed to make me feel better, but it really doesn't. And that's not what I want to give you this morning. That might be some people's reactions, but there's no denying the truth that from the standpoint of the kingdom of God, which that was Paul's focus, he says you're less encumbered when you're single. He says when you get married, he says there's more responsibility. We also can't deny the truth that marriage is not an automatic fix for all the needs that single people face. Amen? Think about that. If you're here today and you are single thinking that marriage is going to fix it all, you got a new thing coming. You got a surprise coming. Because it all requires work. The only thing more painful, by the way, than being single and miserable, you want to guess what it is? Being married and miserable. So how do we find our value in the midst of relationships? If the Word of God says that relationships are of utmost importance, what do I need to know? Whether I'm here today and I have a significant other or not, singleness. The world tries to define it as a status thing. It tries to define it by whether you have enough influence or enough money or you have the certain people in your life. But we've got to get our thinking straight. Anyone who thinks marriage is a be-all, end-all of life, the answer to all of the single person's dreams and problems is in for a big letdown. And the world knows this. Now, having said that, I think it's good to find relationships. Obviously, I speak to you as a married man. I remember being single, and I love that I'm in relationship with my wife and that we can have a healthy relationship. But how many of you know that didn't come just overnight? It took work. Did you say amen? It took work, right? We had to invest in that. But I'll tell you what, I can come to you today and say, as a married person, I can challenge you singles to make sure you work on finding out who you are in Christ Jesus. Because when you understand singleness the way that God defines it, we're going to look at that in just a moment, then you bring 100% of knowing who you are in Christ into that relationship. They bring 100%, and you launch off into that relationship. But if you enter into a relationship not fully understanding who you are in Christ Jesus, it's going to become very difficult. It's going to become very challenging, and then we start using one another. Well, I don't feel very loved. I don't feel very accepted. I don't feel very good about myself. And then I look at her and wait for her to meet that need, or vice versa. That's not what relationships, the way God designed them, is meant to be. We are to complete, not compete with one another. We are to, in relationship, fulfill one another out of the oneness of who we are in Christ Jesus. And we as Christians we can seek a relationship, and God's good with that, right? Amen? All the married people say amen, all right? But the world tries to get its own spin on it. Now, I'm gonna say something. I said it in first service. I tested it out on them because I didn't know if I wanted to go here. But you see, the world tries to define things according to its own terms, and that's why we have so many online dating sites. Now, right now, if you have a profile on a dating site, you are puckering right now. Oh my gosh, what is he going to say about this? I am not here to say, to online date or not, okay? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying that the world, our society, saw a need and tried to meet it, but what they're trying to do is create an environment that's set up according to the world and not the Word. You know, there's so many sites out there, eHarmony.com, Match.com, Chemistry.com, Passion.com, Date.com, ChristianMingle.com, and good Lord, FarmersOnly.com. You don't have to be lonely at FarmersOnly.com. I saw that commercial, and I thought it was a spoof at first, but then I'm like, no, they're serious. Now, is there anything wrong with those things? No, you may, like I said, have a profile. You may be here today, and you are dating somebody that you met on an online dating platform. You may be here or listening today, and you're saying, Pastor, careful, I'm married, and I met my spouse online. That's perfectly fine. I'm not here talking about online to do that or not. What I'm talking or what I'm saying, my point is simply this. You and I don't have to play games with God, because with Adam, Adam found his wife while Adam was sleeping. God put him out and fashioned for him a helpmate and brought Eve to him. So my point simply is this. Is it okay to online date or not? That's up to you. That's not a problem. I'm not saying that's an issue. I'm saying that if you ever think, though, that God is incapable of bringing a spouse into your life, you've missed the bigger picture. God will bring that person into your life. Single person, God knows where you live. He knows where you live. You don't have to spend all your time worrying about tracking down your mate or trying to go out here and date there and date here and date there so that I can hopefully randomly run into somebody that might potentially be good somehow, some way in my life. Those are a lot of variables. God knows where you live. He knows how to find you when the time is right. So again, I'm not saying that you should avoid social situations or relationships with other singles. In fact, the Word of God says this, Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife, you remember the rest? Men, better speak up. Finds a good thing, right? So he's very pro-relationship. He's very pro-marriage, but he's very pro-understanding who you are in Christ before you enter into that. You've got to have that. See, this implies a single man must make an effort to seek out a wife. So there's work that has to be done, you know. We don't get to just sit home and play video games and wait for God to ring our doorbell. We've got to do our part. We've got to get involved. But we don't have to do it by cutting God out of the equation. God wants single people to seek him first, mate second. Seek God first, then seek your mate in the sense that, you know, don't let it become a mission that dominates your thought. I've got to get a man. I've got to get a woman. No, you don't got to nothing. You place Jesus as number one, and he doesn't play games with us. You don't need to find the right one. You need to connect with the one who is Christ Jesus, and he'll bring that into your life. You know, a young man said to his pastor one day, I don't want, it was a true story. He said, I don't want Jesus to rapture me yet. He just needs to delay his coming a little bit longer because I want to get married. And I laughed when I heard that because I remembered thinking the same thing. When I was younger, my parents, you know, they'd be talking about the end times and, you know, I see the days coming and blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, oh, I hope not. I want to grow up and get married. And I want to, you know, enjoy all the things that come along with marriage. I want to have kids. I want to grow older in that. And then I get older and I started saying some of those things. I see the days coming and I'm thinking, man, history's repeating itself here. But let me go back as a kid, and I remember thinking, I don't want Jesus to come back yet. I want to have a relationship. Now, he may have been kidding when he said it, but that thought crossed my mind, and that might be a common view amongst a lot of singles. Oh, Jesus, don't come back yet, because there's something I want to experience here. What's my point? Be very careful to not let earthly goals overtake or eclipse heavenly goals that God has set forth in our life. Because the world's view, remember, we're still just talking about the world's view on singleness, is to do whatever you want. If it feels good, do it. Go ahead, marry them. Doesn't work out, divorce them. You know, it doesn't really matter. But God has a completely different view. Let me just switch gears. We talked about the world's view. That was all the world's view, okay? And what God has to say. Now we're going to switch over to, what's God's view? The second view is God's view. Let me show you a picture that's up here. You're probably very familiar with the picture that's going to be up there, but this picture is a picture of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And God has something to say about marriage, or about singleness, and it's very important that we catch this. The Leaning Tower of Pisa, when it, you know, it's called that because it's leaning, right? There's a group of scientists that go there every year. Scientists travel yearly to measure the building's slow descent. It keeps tipping just a little bit more and a little bit more. And the scientists go there and they say it's a 179-foot tower that moves about 1/12 of an inch each year. Where middle is, it's now 17 feet off plumb. And that's just the measurements as of 7 years ago. The Leaning Tower of Pisa, if it keeps this up, it's going to fall. It's not a question of if. It's more a question of when it's going to fall. But yet these scientists will go there every year. They'll study it. They'll measure it. And quite significantly, this is important too, Pisa, the word Pisa means marshy land, which maybe gives us a little more understanding to why the tower is leaning, because it was built on marshy land. And you want to take a stab at how deep their foundation was that they built the Leaning Tower of Pisa on? The foundation is only 10 foot deep. So they have a tower that's 179 feet tall, built on marshy ground with a foundation that's only 10 foot deep. I'll tell you what, I'm not surprised that it's leaning. I'm surprised it's still staying up. Now, here's my point. When God looks at something, he says, you've got to start with a good foundation, and it must be solid so that you can build lasting things. Otherwise, it is going to fall apart. If we start off with the wrong definition of what singleness is, then all the conclusions we make based on that wrong definition become wrong as well. Follow that? If I say, this is a stapler, anything I do with this, trying to use it as a stapler, is not going to succeed because it is not a stapler. And when we try to understand singleness, we have to define it according to the Creator and what He has to say about singleness. Let me ask you a question. If I were to ask you, what does it mean to be single, how would you answer that? Just think about that for a moment. If you're watching online, I'm asking you as well. If I were to ask you, what does it mean to be single, how would you answer that question? Well, I polled a few people and asked them some questions and just kind of wanted to get an idea because, you know, you can ask the question, but if you don't have some feedback, it does no good. And there were four main answers that came up. And one of those four answers came up in every person's response. I asked them, I said, what does it mean to be alone? And most everybody said, it means to not have a significant other. Okay? I asked another response that came up was, to be single means I'm not dating. I asked the question and the response came up. I don't know where this came up, but they said, it means you don't have a life. And that was their thinking. That's not mine. That came from them. And here's the one that came up every time. Every time I asked somebody, what does it mean to be single? Every one of them said, they ended it with this. It means to be alone. So I've asked these questions, but the response, I was intrigued by that, because the word alone is one word that came up every time. And the problem is that's not what it means to be single. It doesn't mean to be alone. We have the wrong definition of what it means to be single. Let me define for you, and this is in your outlines. Let me give you two words and define them. The first word is alone. What does it mean to be alone? Well, if you look at that, it's very interesting, because to be alone means to be separated from others, to be in a state of solitary. That's what it means to be alone. Now, let me give you the definition of what single is. Single, when you look it up, it will have words consisting of separate, unique, and whole. See, to be alone means uses words like solitary or separated. But the word single means to be separate, unique, to be whole. In other words, to be single means this. It means to be complete and whole, lacking in nothing. To be truly single in our hearts, from God's point of view, means to be complete and whole, lacking in nothing. Say it with me. To be complete and whole, lacking in nothing. Single person, you need to remind yourself of that this week when you leave here and say, yeah, I heard them, I just don't know if I believe it. To be single has less to do with the way the world defines it about having a mate or not having a mate, and it has to do with more of an understanding that you are complete and whole, lacking in nothing, no matter what your dating or marital status is. Now, having that definition of who you are in Christ Jesus, you can now move forward into maybe what God has for you in the future. Jesus said this to Adam in the garden. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. In other words, solitary, separated from others. Nowhere did it say it wasn't good for man to be single. It never says that in the Bible. It says it's not good for man to be alone. I want to take some time and I want to talk about what it means to be single from God's point of view. Because it's from his point of view that we look at singleness and start to make some sense of what God might be speaking to us to truly understand what it means to be single. And I'll give you a couple points and then we'll kind of land the plane and be done for this week. But to truly be single means that we are whole and complete, lacking in nothing. And if this is the proper point of view that we have from the Word of God, then we can look at singleness and start to make sense of what God has been speaking to us, whether we're truly single and not in a relationship, or whether we're married or divorced, maybe we're widowed or we're a widower. To truly be single means that we are whole and complete, regardless of our status at that point. And if this is the proper point of view that God would want us to have, and it is, because it's from his word, then should we be so surprised when we take the world's view of singleness and find ourselves off course? We find ourselves off course. If this is what it means to be single, whole, complete, lacking in nothing, then can we really have oneness in marriage if we first and foremost don't understand who we are in Christ Jesus? Singleness, that we have that standpoint. And if we had a wrong definition of singleness, should we be surprised when we see so much separation and divorce that's going on in our world today? You see, it's okay to be single, but it's not good to be alone. The Bible tells us that. And there's a couple things that we need to know. I'm just going to give you two. One of them is this. Write this down in your outlines. There's more than four things, by the way, that we need to know about life and marriage. But I'm just going to give you four observations. Because when we're going through life and we think that we're single and alone, we're not. So the first thing is this. Know this. Write this down. Singleness is a myth. Singleness is a myth. How many of you ever watched the show Mythbusters? You know what that is? You watch Mythbusters and you hear these things that are out there, and these guys go out and they see, is this true or not? I remember learning about the Mentos in a 2 liter of soda. Have you ever tried that one? You drop a pack of Mentos in a 2 liter of soda and that thing will explode because of the chemical reaction. Is that really true or not? Well, they proved that. They went on and did a few other things trying to prove what could happen, what couldn't happen. This morning, I want us to identify a myth that's out there today. And I want to bust that myth. And that myth is simply this, that if you're single, you can't be satisfied. If you're single, something is wrong with you. That is a myth. We already identified that there's a difference between the world's view on singleness. Now we're going to get God's view on singleness. And we've defined the difference between what it means to be alone and what it means to be single. So my question to you this morning is married or not, are you single or are you alone? Are you single, meaning I'm whole, I'm complete, I'm lacking in nothing, or am I alone and I feel like I have to have something from this world to get by, to get me by? There's a big difference between the two. We've confused singleness, I believe, with being alone. Does getting married do away with the definition of being single? Well, no, absolutely not. When you marry, do you stop being a single individual? No. When you marry, does that mean you stop being you and you're not going to be somebody completely different? Absolutely not. It means you bring, now understanding singleness from God's point of view, you bring the fullness of who he is in your life to that relationship. And even if you don't have a relationship, you are filled with his spirit, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. You see, if a state of singleness means to be unique and whole, then to be totally single should be every Christian's number one goal. In fact, I'll go as far as to say this. Just my opinion, but I'll go so far as to say that no one should get married until he or she is totally single. What does that mean? I don't believe anybody should really enter into a relationship until they first discover who they are in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't know who you are and what you're bringing to that relationship, then what are you bringing that's going to be of value? And you might say, well, Pastor, that's pretty harsh. You know, you're married and you're speaking to us as singles. But the reason I'm speaking to you that way is because I am married. And I remember what it was like as a single. And I remember when we started in our relationship that it wasn't all roses and, you know, cream soda and whatever else, you know, rainbows and unicorns, whatever, fill in the gap. I remember what it was like to bring all of me and have an expectation there and it didn't work. And it wasn't until I discovered who I am, my singleness, my wholeness, my uniqueness of how God created me to be. It wasn't until I discovered that that I could bring 100% of me to this relationship. Does that make it perfect then? Probably not. Just ask her. She'll let you know. I'm not perfect, but I'm always in a perfecting process. And it starts with understanding singleness. It's not a definition that the world gives, but it's something that God has to say. As a matter of fact, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Let's read that one together. It's up on the screen. You ready? Go. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." God had no problem with man being separate, whole, unique. That's why he created man. And I'm talking man in the sense of men and women, children of God. As a matter of fact, Adam didn't even know he was alone. The implication is that Adam was so totally unique and so whole that he didn't miss anything. There was no loneliness that was going on. He was so together, so separate, and so complete in himself that he didn't even know that he needed anybody else. So having a helpmate wasn't even Adam's idea. It was God's idea. God didn't say, "Adam, boy, you need help. You know, Adam, you are not whole. You're not completely complete. What am I going to do? Let's see." That's not how he came up with the idea of creating woman. It's not about needing one another. It's about learning to need and have that want relationship with the Savior. And out of that, relating with others. That's why I think relationships are under attack. The relationship we have with God, the relationship we have with others. Why? Well, think about it. It's the greatest commandment, isn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is just like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if we can't have that love of God and understand how he defines those parameters, we're going to miss out on the best that God has. Singleness is a myth, folks. It says something's wrong, something's broken, something's defective if you're single. That's what the world says, but that's not what God says. That is not the truth. The key to truly being single in life, whether you have a significant other or not, is when you go to the Creator God and you find your worth. You find your worth in the presence of Jesus. Stop trying, singles. Stop trying to fit in everyone else, thinking that if I can just have a relationship, that's going to fix all of my problems and my aloneness. Many people are married right now, and their marriages are struggling because they're busy looking to the other spouse to complete them rather than looking for God to complete them. Singleness is a myth. When you think marriage is going to fix it all, for every single that tells me that, I can give you five marriages that'll tell you the opposite. Because how many of you here today, you're married, it took work, amen? And it still continues to take work. I'm not getting much feedback, but I understand why. You know, they're sitting right next to you probably, but the challenge is real. And singles, as we continue to march on, are going to find out that God has a plan. That singleness is just the myth. And then number two, write this down. Folks, singleness is a choice. You must choose it. Singleness is a choice. Whether you're choosing to stay single, according to the world's point of view, with no significant other, or you're choosing to discover singleness and how God has created you, he encourages each and every one of us to come into his presence and choose it. What does that mean? That's what I want to talk to you about next week. We'll come back. I'm going to kind of just hang my hat on the hook right there, because I want us to catch together all that God has to say. See, this is not about how do I find a mate? How can I become happy by finding somebody else? It's about finding out how God's created you to be. Some of you here today are not in a relationship and you want to be, and you're a young person looking for that. Some of us maybe have lost a loved one. We're going through that process. Maybe you've been widowed, divorced, whatever that is. Over the next few weeks, we're going to find out what God has to say. And there's never going to be any condemnation, because in the Word of God, he says, there is therefore now no, absolutely none, no condemnation. He'll bring conviction, but not condemnation. That's why we can safely come to the Word of God and say, Jesus, what do you have to say? And here's my challenge, if you will. Please leave your heart open to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. Because if you hear what he has to say, he'll take you to the next level quicker than you could ever get there on your own. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you that today we can come into your presence. And your word says that it's in your presence that there's fullness of joy. Some of us have been missing that joy in our life because we've been defining how we live our life according to maybe a wrong standard. Lord, I pray today that we can get your view on what it means to be single, what it means to be in relationship. But Lord, we're declaring today that it first and foremost starts with a relationship with you. So Father, I thank you that you love us so much that you would give your son to come and die on a cross for us so you could be with us for an eternity. Lord, I pray today that you will help us define who we are and the depth of our relationship according to the word and not according to the world. Jesus, give us your eyes, give us your ears. And as we go through these days, I pray that, Lord, you will fill our hearts with a sense of joy and that you'll give us the direction that we've been so desperately looking for. In Jesus' name, amen, church.
Thank you for tuning in this morning. We hope that you'll join us again next week, or better yet, join us in person. We are located at 816 13th Avenue North in Clinton, Iowa. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. If you have any questions about our church or what it means to follow Christ, check us out online at cotod.church. That's COTOD.church. We look forward to hearing from you soon.